All right. Today we have a guest, Dr. Mandy Bondahar. So she's going to be joining us today. We haven't had a guest in a while, so I'm excited to bring her on. Mandy's going to chat with us about back pain, and it's something that Kate and I have gone through recent little tweaks and injuries with it, and both have resolved. And I think, you know, for a lot of people listening who do CrossFit or they're weightlifting, especially in the wintertime, you're hitting weights a lot, and it's a pretty common injury. And, you know, for me, of any injury, when that happens, it mentally really messes with you. Nothing makes you scared, and nothing that I talk to anyone, like our client base, is like, I'm going to the doctor. Like, as soon as they have that little back tweak, they think they're like irreparably harmed. And I've done that back tweak, I can't even count how many times now, and came back through it. Like, I've had that conversation where I'll just be happy to deadlift 135 and be able to work out again. And then a year later I'm PRing a deadlift or something like that. So it is something that like you can and will get over typically. And I think we've talked about it a little bit in this podcast, but you can maybe explain why that happens, why it kind of shuts us down, just like a little bit of the background from a technical perspective and just like what's going on there.
Sure. Sure. So yeah, you both have experience with back pain. I have experience with back pain. I think one of the first things that I like to tell my patients when they experience back pain is that you're not alone in this. It is so common. So just like there's four of us in this room and three of us that have actually all four of us have had back pain.
Mike's been there probably worse than
the man behind the curtain has had back pain as well. So it's super common. And the research says that as well. So like 80% of people will have back pain at some point in their life. So just knowing that you're not alone in that a lot of times can just calm down the situation. And that's the number one thing I want to do off the bat is just, hey, you're not alone in this. The other good thing to know is that most back pain will go away on its own if you do nothing other than just keep moving. So just setting that reassurance right away that everything's going to be okay. Almost always it's a non-traumatic, very non-invasive cause and something that'll go away on its own if you do nothing. I know you guys talk a lot about having that good, being in a good mental place when you experience something like that or you experience a setback or anything like that. And that could not be more true with something like back pain. If you can get yourself in that good headspace of, I'm going to be okay. This is very common. This is even something I've dealt with before. Yep. And I've overcome this before. You'll get through it a lot better if you're in that good headspace. So.
Nothing shuts you down more than for one reason or another, you know, through 20 years of working out and competing in these kind of like strength sports and boxing and things, I've pretty much tweaked up every joint capsule in my body now. And for one reason or another, the back, particularly when you injure that, it gets your mind churning faster and more frantic than anything else, that like just danger, danger, danger. And it's very scary. And, you know, you think you're like irreparably harmed, where you wouldn't necessarily think that if you sprain your ankle,
right?
You know, you're like, my foot hurts. It's going to take some time to resolve, but, it doesn't cause the same sort of panic in people,
right,
that the back does.
And I think that's one of the things we've discussed before is like, this is no different than the ligaments in your ankle. There's, yep, ligaments in your back. There's muscles in your back. There happens to be a lot more nerves that run through that area. And yeah, I think that's why we get that heightened, like neurotic response to,
yeah,
it. And the other thing too, is it affects a lot more movements than just our ankle typically would. And,
yeah,
so we tend to catastrophize that when it does happen to us.
The neck is similar. It's like, I feel like it's the muscles that just are turned on always when you're not moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like your wrist is like, you know, it's not postural. It's not like holding your whole body,
right,
up. But when you hurt your back or your neck and like you can't exist without just feeling that screaming at you, those particular muscles are, I think there's more of a, you know, at least the way I feel it, and you can tell me, like, what, you know, from your background and seeing patients, there's more of like a neurological or a mind connection with postural muscles than the non-postural ones. Like,
for sure.
Because you're, it causes like a flood of anxiety. You can't stop thinking about it because it's constantly getting you, and it makes it harder for maybe your brain or your nervous system to turn that signal off. Do you feel like that's like a thing?
Definitely. Okay. So you hit the nail on the head. Those are more postural muscles that you have to use all day long.
Yeah.
And so you're gonna, if your back is hurting, you're gonna feel it all day long.
Yep.
So like one of the things we did with Kate was just kind of explaining like, what are those small muscles in your back? Why do they hurt right away? And one of those things is that anytime you get an injury, all of those things kind of shut down instantly. So it is those postural muscles that you need throughout the day. They kind of shut down instantly. And that is like a protective thing. That's so that you do take a little bit of time to rest. But that's where it's important to continue to move, turn on those muscles a little bit more, get something done potentially, like a joint manipulation or dry needling that gets to the root source of those, and helps with that muscle activation. So they've proven in the research that a joint manipulation, dry needling, exercise, this wonderful drug called exercise, reactivates those muscles and helps you feel more stable and secure and get moving again quickly.
And is that why the back spasms is because those muscles are turned off?
Yeah. So some can get turned on and some can get turned off. And it's a little bit different with every injury and every person, but that's your body trying to adapt to, all right, I'm injured in this muscle. What else can I use to hold myself up instead? And that's where I like to stress the importance of moving, getting with a PT or a coach who can get you moving in a specific way again, so that that muscle that decided to turn on to help you while the other one is injured doesn't become the only muscle that keeps you moving.
Right, right.
That's where we keep seeing issues down the line.
And I was really nervous. Like, I know I like dry needling now. I used, you know, in the beginning, I hated it. I'd always be like, what else can we do besides dry needling? How about we massage here?
And yeah.
Now, like, you know, my body likes it. It's used to it. But that injury was so scary for me. I'm like, I think it would help me, but I was so scared the whole rest of my body would freak out that I almost didn't want to do it. I waited a few days and came in. And I think I saw Maddie initially, and she's like, hey, it's probably good you waited just a couple days because, like, you know, had just so much trauma. And you know, maybe we can even speak to, like, different types of back injuries. So mine was more of a soft tissue, you thought, more from, like, just a fall and impact. And neurologically, I think that's why my body was just kind of freaked out, and that's why I was experiencing muscle spasms. Whereas, you know, maybe a lot of the other injuries are structural and into like the spine or the joint. Mm-hmm. And then that's why they cause back injuries. But I found it really interesting, you know, when you were talking to me just about like the mechanism of what happens after the injury, like upon impact.
Sure.
I don't know if you can remember what you told me, but I was like, this is so freaking neat. Like, I think other people it would be neat to hear about this. And I think in the same week, like, I fell. Mine was kind of a weird freak accident. And then Caitlin like Kennelly slipped off a bar when she was doing pull-ups. Not that it's super common, but to like land on your back if it's a soft tissue injury,
sure.
What happens from that point of impact to your body?
Sure. So with any injury, we talk about the inflammatory cascade. And that's where people can take advantage of or get used to the process of like, okay, I have an injury, I'm going to take an anti-inflammatory. Whereas that inflammation process, as I explained to you, it is an important part of healing. And that's where we see a lot of research now saying like, hey, maybe your anti-inflammatory medication shouldn't be the first go-to when something like that happens. Because what we want is that inflammatory process to start, for your body to bring in a bunch of those feel-good chemicals to the area, to bring in some fresh blood flow to that area, which does sometimes create some visible swelling. You'll see that with an injury.
I was pretty swollen for like even like 2 weeks. Yeah. I still feel like my body's kind of coming down, but not to totally interrupt. But I talked to Maddie and I was in so much pain. It was hard for me to move, but she was kind of telling me, advising me on like, if I did ibuprofen, what sort of schedule. And she's like, you can do that for about 48 hours. It was every 4 hours, mm-hmm. you know, and then your stomach's really going to take a beating. And I was starting to feel uncomfortable everywhere else.
Sure.
But I really feel like I started to turn around faster once, like to your point, once I stopped I did it for 24 sure. hours and then I just cut it off.
Yeah. And well, it's okay to take anti-inflammatory medication if that's what can get you to moving a little bit more normally through your day. The worst thing you can do when something like this happens is lay around and do nothing. So if you're totally incapacitated and you can't do that, yeah, let's take something to drop down that inflammation a little bit so that you can at least go for a walk, go about your work day, do what you need to do. And once you can get past that, let that inflammatory cascade happen, let the good blood flow come in, let that healing process start so that then you can really get back to what you need.
And I think that's so important for people to hear, because every single one of my clients that has had a back injury wants to do nothing, wants to lay in bed, wants to not sure. move. And they feel that that is what's best, because as soon as they move, they have pain. But I think it's very helpful for people to hear, you will have pain. It's important for you to work through it.
Right.
And then the only reason why you're taking anti-inflammatories is so you can withstand that pain to move through it.
Right.
But if you can move through it naturally without anything, it is the fastest way to recovery.
Right.
Would that be correct?
It absolutely is. That pain is a natural response, a totally normal response that your body should go through. Inflammation is a normal response that your body needs to go through. You need to work through that as tolerated and try to continue to move and do as much as you can.
So embrace the pain.
Yeah. It is a trap, though. Like, I know all of this, and I fall into that yeah. trap, too. Something yeah. starts to hurt. Well, maybe I should take a rest day. Maybe I should just, like, sit around and do nothing. And it turns out you feel worse doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. I mean, there's those overuse injuries that you see, you know, more like probably the tendonitis, like the elbow, the knee, where you want to not have so much impact, which is different.
Certainly, yeah. There's cases where, okay, something is truly overloaded, and your back was this case as well. And the best thing we can do is keep moving, but not place so much load and emphasis on that joint specifically. And that's where a good coach or physical therapist can really help you, is how can we program a workout for you or physical therapy exercises for you that get blood flowing. So as simple as, let's do something that gets your heart rate up that will pump a bunch of blood flow to your back. Let's do something that gets your heart rate up and works a different muscle group away from your injury. So that if nothing else, you have the confidence again, we've talked about this a lot, to be able to just move and be in a class workout. Like, that's one of the most important things, is just building up that confidence in your body again.
Yeah. So I had a soft tissue injury. Can you explain what would be the difference? So between a soft tissue injury and then, let's say, had I herniated a disc in my lower back, what would be the difference in recovery and what you would recommend the person do?
Honestly, not a lot. Typically, when we see people with injuries, we're not going to know if it is specifically a disc herniation or a soft tissue injury, and that's probably a good thing. Yeah. It's not to say we just want to like blindly go in and whatever the injury is, we're just going to do the same thing. But what we know now from the research is that, hey, if we do image someone's back, so if when you fell on your back, we took an image right away, and scenario A is, okay, you had a huge disc herniation, and typically that would come with pain down your leg or other neurological symptoms. In a really severe case, we might see some other symptoms. But
that would be like numbness, loss.
Yeah.
Of,
so if
like,
we see, so
control.
Yeah, so that's kind of something we go through when someone has an acute injury, is this something serious that they need to go to the emergency room for? Do they need imaging? And in most cases, it's a big no.
And I think that's important for people to hear. Sure. So what would be like the red flags you need to go to the emergency room?
Yeah. So things that I'm sure Maddie asked you on that first call were, are you having any changes in your bowel and bladder symptoms? Mm-hmm. That really is the number one indicator that, hey, we have something serious going on, that we're the neurological system has been impacted by this injury. And especially in your case, like that was a traumatic fall versus someone who just kind of strains their back deadlifting in the gym. That in that scenario, it's even less likely that it's something serious. But if we're seeing bowel and bladder changes, so that would be either like inability to go to the bathroom, or you're just peeing your pants and you don't have control over it. So that's a new change scary. In that, is typically the only reason that you would need an MRI or further imaging or something.
So not
like
even
that.
Tingling in your feet, numbness.
No.
Because that could even mean a nerve's just irritated.
Yeah.
Not.
So now if we're talking like a car accident, some sort of really heavy impact, if we do have some immediate numbness and tingling, that'd be something we'd want to get checked out for. But if you're at the gym and you experience some symptoms down your legs, so some of that numbness, tingling, even some weakness right away, that is no cause to run to the ER and get an image. Number one, acutely, you're probably going to have so much inflammation, they're not going to be able to see much. Number two, it doesn't do much for us in terms of like actually making you feel better.
Yeah.
So getting an image does nothing to decrease your inflammation. It does nothing to decrease your pain. You're pretty much just wasting time, probably waiting to get into the doctor's office, waiting to get an image, when what you could be doing is, hey, doing some sort of general exercise, get your heart rate up again, pump some blood flow to your back, calm down your nervous system, do some meditating. Those are more productive things to
and I think
get
Pete,
rid of
that,
your symptoms.
That's like a newer thing that people are trying to wrap their head around.
Sure.
Where like mainstream medicine would say maybe your advice there is you know, or it, especially if I would say that to someone, I'm being a little reckless, you know, in my advice. But my response to that always is, well, unless you're going to have a surgery, even if you do have a herniated disc, that's what you're looking at. That is your answer to fixing this with that image. Otherwise, it's physical therapy, it's joint manipulation, and
getting back to the gym.
Right. Yeah. Right. And moving in a healthy way.
Yeah. And you're exactly right. And it's not because of your bias that you're a trainer. Like the research proves that, like time and time again, that back pain is super common, that if you do have back pain, it's probably nothing serious. So you might as well do something conservative first. And if that makes it better, great. And if it doesn't, then we can go down that road of investigating further.
It's just tough in that moment, I think, when
for
it's
sure.
really scary. I mean, even with us, Brandon was really freaked out. He was texting our friends the next morning, like, Kate refuses to go to the nurse's station. And I'm like, hey, no offense, but what are some nurses going to do in Turks and Caicos' little office? They're going to give me pain medication, muscle relaxers at the best,
sure.
which will only prolong my healing process, because then it's kind of shutting down like that flood of, like you were saying, like that inflammatory response
sure.
that in helping me also work through the pain. But I think it makes people feel more safe when they're in a hospital. Like as soon as, I mean, you know, you're getting ready
sure.
to have a baby. As soon as I walked in to the hospital when I was getting
it
ready
comes
to have
a lot of anxiety.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, oh, there goes the
yeah.
contractions aren't here anymore
what's,
because I feel really safe.
Yeah. I mean, what's so interesting is that the research proves the exact opposite. So the more we like over medicalize back pain, getting an image, taking medication, the worse the outcomes are. So
why do you
once
think that
you,
is? Do you
so,
think it feeds that pain, the loop, the pain mind, body?
Yeah, so
pain.
A lot of it you guys have talked a lot about before in that, okay, if we take medication, what we're doing then is masking the symptoms. We're essentially heightening our nervous system to tolerate pain. So that when we do get pain, we're going to feel it sooner. So there's that. with the imaging in particular, once you see on an image, like, oh my gosh, I have this big disc herniation at L4, like, that's why I have that pain down my leg.
Then it's going to be like...
Which is, couldn't be further from the truth. So if you image everyone in this room, like, 50% of us are going to have disc herniations in our back just because we're above the age of 30. But one of us has some back pain right now.
Yeah. And not really anymore.
Yeah. So the truth is that you are not your image, but when you are in that horrible acute state of, oh my God, I hurt my back doing this deadlift, or I hurt my back falling. And if you run off to the ER and you get an image and it says disc herniation, now you have this very clear, vivid picture in your head of what your damaged back looks like. And then you have the typical medical response, which is rest and take more medication, stay away from the gym, totally do what you don't normally do, and just take it easy. And then that image sits in your head. And then for someone like you, we've talked about this too, like if you're missing that workout, you're away from your business, like that just compounds on itself and you then feel even worse. Then you start to get depressed about it and that makes your back pain worse. Your nervous system flares up more. You're getting irritated about it. You're missing more workouts. Like it is just this cascade then of making you feel worse.
So what is your view on when to use like not just ibuprofen, but the real pain medication? Do you feel like it has a place? Let's even say, like, I mean, with injuries, in what types?
Yeah.
What's your two cents on that?
I think there's a place for it when you can't achieve what you need to do in your day-to-day work or family life, when you've tried other things and when you're actively trying to not take that medication. So you're trying to exercise, you're trying to meditate, like you're doing all of these good things to get yourself out of that position. So you're actively trying to rehab your injury.
But the pain's preventing you from being able to exercise, from being able to do that.
Yeah, sleep is a big one. Like I'll tell my patients, like, hey, if you need to take some ibuprofen at night to get a good night's sleep and you made it through your work day, you're back to working out, like, take that ibuprofen at night. That's totally fine.
Yep.
So that you can get some good rest, because that is the most important thing, is that's the time when your body heals, is during sleep. So yeah, if you need to take it to go to sleep, that's fine. But putting a hard end date on it and knowing that you are actively working to get out of that situation.
And so are you referring to like ibuprofen or are you referring to like opioids?
Well, I don't... Just ibuprofen.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So even in that small amount, it kind of does kind of prolong, because I think it's just something that it's much more common than we realize. And everyone kind of knows that, especially like opioids probably aren't something you want to get into, but it's really tough when you're in a lot of pain to not start taking them. And just understanding, just besides the fact that you might become addicted, what are some of the other downfalls of taking like opioids, like something a little bit stronger than ibuprofen for pain?
Well, I don't know if I can speak to that much because I'm not a pharmacist or doctor, but what I do know is that I don't even want you to get to that point. Like right. If you're working with a coach and working with a trainer, working with a PT, like we shouldn't even be having that discussion.
It's going to be more for like an acute pain, like say right when you got injured, like when you fell and you got hurt. And that pain is intolerable. Isn't that when you would be the time to do it, to get the pain to a level where like existence is like.
But even then, I mean,
you didn't
sleep that night, and you gave me some Advil PM. You said I was like snoring for like 2 hours, where I could get like a little bit at rest, where it knocked that out. And the opioids are going to last for 4 hours. I know because I took them with my eye. And I could feel them leaving my body, coming back in, leaving. And just personally, that cycle, and I could feel that my body was more sensitive once it left me, that it's like I couldn't process that pain as well, because I was relying on that. It was something that made me feel pretty horrible. And I think, you know, everyone's got their own opinion. You need to do what's best for your body. But I think if the more you can avoid that medication and really feel what you're going to feel, the sooner your body will kind of come around.
Yeah, I think it's getting to a point where I think just realizing that medication is not what's going to make you better. What makes you better and what's proven, and you guys have experienced this as well, is doing the meditation, getting your mindset right, and moving as much as you can.
I always personally feel like when I've had that back injury, and I've done it, like deadlifting is by far and away my best power lift. And I've tweaked my back up doing it, you know, more than a few times, and my back never feels great again until I get back on the horse and I start doing that. And then that's when, you know, I've figured out now there's like a certain time, like, okay, I'm going to start with like some reverse hypers, and then I'm going to do some good mornings, and then build back up to like some 95 pound deadlifts. And then it just starts to turn over quick, where it's like, okay, I'm back after a few weeks to like full pulling off the ground and doing all of that. And that's the process I went through the last 8 weeks. I just kind of zinged my back, and then, you know, it was bad. Like it didn't feel good, and it was limiting. And then the last couple of weeks, now I'm back to like full deadlifting and, you know, doing, you know, pulling reps over 300 pounds and feeling solid. There's no pain there or anything. And now my back feels like my mobility all of a sudden is much better. I can stretch, and, you know, I'm not worried about it in any way, but it never gets there until I
load it back up.
Start loading it back up. It just always feels like a little scary. And then it's like, once you touch that again, it's like, it just like your body knows it's safe.
And I think that is the magic recipe, is a little bit of load, like gradual return to load, which then provides your body with that confidence of, oh, I can do this. My back can take that load again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think this is a good spot to kind of leave the back pain. This is the first week of the open. So you guys are listening to this, this will drop Monday. Again, you guys are listening to this regularly, just the cadence of the workouts throughout the week. We'll be releasing stuff that's just up until Friday. Friday might even get switched depending on what the open workout is. We'll have two more weeks of this. That last weekend should be a lot of fun. The Arnold weekend is going to be that weekend. We'll have the post open party at Woodlands from 5 to 9. I'm texting with some fun celebrity guests already. So try to come Saturday. It should be a good time. We should have some like really heavy hitters in the, not just the CrossFit community, but even just like the fitness celebrity community coming and joining us for that open. So that if you can't make any of the Saturdays, if you had to pick one, that will be the one I would really try to
and
get.
And that's 11 to rough, like around one, right?
Yep. 11 to one. Now that Saturday I'm waiting because these guys all have to go back and forth to the Arnold. Again, I'm not going to go ahead and drop what's going on until we've really firmed everything up. They may end up coming like into the 9 and 10 a.m. classes, and I would just hold some spots for them. But
maybe
I'm going
to 8 a.m. and I can go head to head with them.
There you go. I'm going to let everyone, I'll try and let everyone know what's going on.
Make this baby come out.
The open's a lot of fun. Come watch people too. If we have a lot of people who are newer members, and I had someone ask me, can I just like come and watch? I'm like, absolutely. I'm like, come in Saturday, do the workout, scale it. They have like foundational levels. You can do it at any level. I'm doing the open workout. I have some injuries I'm working around. Like ring muscle ups is like one of my favorite things in CrossFit I've ever done. And I have a little shoulder issue that I can do them, but it's probably not going to be a great move for me. So I'm going to stop when I get there, but I'm going to participate in all the workouts and do them as safely as possible. I'm not making any noise in it, but it's a lot of fun to just participate and move through it with everybody. Even if you're not signed up,
do the workouts, experience them, because you're going to hear coaches and competitors and people talking about these workouts all year. You'll also see them occasionally pop back up on those Saturdays as retests. So it's great to see like this one that's dropped today. I did it back in 2014. I'm not going to do as well. I'll probably plan this when I can get this shoulder under control and be like, yes, I'm back to this. It's a great way to benchmark things. So,
but if you're going to be out for a certain amount of time, you know, like you were saying, hey, I could do those muscle ups, but I might not be able to work out for 4 months. Don't do that movement, guys. Don't RX it. Don't push your butt. It's not worth it to sacrifice your general wellness, because it doesn't really matter for us. You know, like I'm hoping to get one muscle up, but if I was going to hurt myself.
One today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my goal for the whole year.
That is cool. Even if you don't do it this year, when your shoulder is better, a few months from now, you can try it again, or next year when it shows up again,
after stem cells, you'll be able to say,
hey, now I did it.
Yeah. I'm putting the scores in, and it's going to be my worst year I've completed. I just where my body's at, it is. But what I'm excited to do is get a baseline this year, and it's going to it's not going to look great. You know, I've done this. I've done, I think 9 out of the 13 opens start to finish. It will be not my best performance, but ideally I'm looking at next year, putting my game back together, working really hard on resolving some of these injuries, and then smashing that score next year. So it's great to get that baseline. We have a ton of first year people or people who have never done it. Get a baseline and then start improving upon that. I've had years where I've done this. I've had great years. I've had years that have seesawed around, but it always is just a good temperature on where I'm at and how healthy my body is generally. So I think it's a great test.
And not only that, you get in better shape. So, that's something we've talked about here before in this podcast. Anytime, I'm nervous for that open workout to drop, and then I'm excited and I'm pumped up, and just that sense of trying and really taking care of your body. It's fun. It's exciting. It changes Groundhog Day every day. And it's just like we were talking about, the point of trips, the point of vacation, the point of time off versus work. Guys, this keeps your head in the game long term. If you want to stay fit long term, you've got to change up what you're doing. And if you're doing the same damn thing every day, that's not motivating. And then that's why people, that have families stop really trying, because it's tough. It's harder. You're not sleeping. We've slept like pure shit this week, but I'm going to show up tomorrow, and you're going to show up tomorrow, and we'll just do what we can. And just the fact that you're doing that is going to make you try harder, be more awake, alert, and just be more engaged to care about your whole body. And I think that should be the overall purpose for everyone. Not very many people should take this super serious, because it's really not going to go anywhere. It's kind of like our son playing baseball. We're not going to freak out about how his performance, because he's more than likely not going to be a professional athlete. We're not going to be professional athletes, but it can matter to us in the whole scheme of our health and wellness.
Yep. I plan on doing the workout tomorrow, obviously modified, but I think to kind of prove to myself, I've tried to just really stay active and keep up my strength during this pregnancy. And darn it, I'm going to do that workout tomorrow.
And you're 37 weeks now?
Yep.
Wow. You're getting induced in
three weeks.
So we'll circle back with you when you get back in.
That sounds good. Straight into labor. Those wall balls.
Yeah, maybe the wall balls will get me.
Dan was always freaked out about me.
CrossFit Grandview baby.
Squatting really low and having Oscar when I was first. It was his first pregnancy watch. He's like, don't have that baby on my watch in here.
All right, guys, we're going to leave it right there. We will catch you next week.